Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
Nah, I'm Red Bear.
We're back again. Two lifelong nerds here to drop some knowledge
all
on
life
you. All life, all nerd.
All the time.
We can't turn it off. Nope. Who would want to turn this off?
I can't stop, man.
No, we've got a pretty good show tonight. Before we get started into the music, it's our double down show.
It is our double down show.
This is something we're going to kind of do
because
every now
and then.
Because
it's not our half show.
Yeah, it's not our
half life show. Thanks for that, Matt.
No. So last,
you disappointed me greatly.
Last episode, again, it's not uploaded to the website yet.
Because you're too embarrassed.
Yeah, so last episode, I was kind of pitching the fact that we're about to do a half life show because Half-Life's about to be, I think, 16 years old.
It's gonna be old.
I think it's that
it's
old.
Teenager.
Anyway, I misread it, and I thought it was gonna be October 8th, but it's November 8th. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's November 8th and not October.
So I've been
8th.
Playing Half-Life just for the fun and enjoyment of playing Half-Life. Thanks for that.
We've been preparing to do this really awesome show. We had sound bites, but. Alas,
tune in around November 8th for a Half-Life show, kids.
I can't calendar correctly. So.
How do I even?
That's fine. This is our double down show. We are going to double up on all of our music. So we're going
to
play typically every time we play one song,
right
we're going to play another one. We're going
to
play two songs.
Two songs.
Well, I mean, two songs every one song. So two songs.
Two songs every one song?
Yep.
Is that like three songs or two songs?
It's two songs normally when we'd have one song.
Whoa.
There's 100% more music in this show than last time.
The songs doubled.
Let's go ahead and hit the website. Bear, what is the website?
We do have a website, exppoints.com. There's two P's, so you have to double tap.
The social media, we got them. We're on social media.
You don't have to list everyone on
them anymore.
I love this part of the show. Everyone, listen.
We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, we're on a lot of other things too.
How do we get there, Matt?
If you go to exppoints.com and then hit /social. Then you will go to the social page. You will see all of our social media. Stitcher, iTunes is on there. So
there's icons. You can just click.
Oh,
it's
man.
Amazing.
The icons look so good. I worked for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Whole minutes on the icons. But they're pretty good. We are going to get started the right way again. Double down show. We are going to go
double
with two musical selections.
These aren't even tracks. We are selecting them.
We personally.
Hand-picked.
Yeah. Okay. You know, it's like. You know how there are those things like Boxed or Trunk? I think Trunked is a thing where you write in. You're like, hey, I want a fashion designer to pick out my clothes.
Oh yeah.
And they mail you like $1,300 worth of clothes,
right,
and you figure out if you want to pay $200 or $300.
Yeah, there's
for
one
jeans.
For eyeglasses. I forgot the name of them. I want
really?
To try that. Yeah.
Just get surgery for $1,300. You can
it's
get
not
surgery.
$1,300, but they send you a whole bunch of frames, and then you pick the one you want and send the rest back.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and start it the right way. This is Geeks vs. Nerds by Rhett and Link, and after that, Breaking Out by the Proto Man. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
What do you think you're doing?
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Still Experience Points, still MG.
Always Red Bear.
That was Breaking Out by the Proto Man, but before that, Geeks versus Nerds by Rhett and Link. It's one of their, I guess, one of their earlier type of musical selections.
Musical selection they did. So
We're selecting some good music. If you're just joining us, this is the place where we drop some knowledge. Tonight, it's a double down show, though, so you're treated to some fantastic music.
Why not just us being lazy?
Why are we doing this? Why are we doubling down?
Because someone messed up the Half-Life show.
Because I messed up the Half-Life show, so
yeah,
this,
that's why we're doubling down on the music.
This is my penance. I have to. We chose some music so that you don't hate us.
You don't get half the life, so you get double the music.
Hate me. Anyway, we are going to talk about what
we don't want to hear Matt talk anymore because he told us Half-Life was out today.
Okay, well, how about this, Bear? What did you do last week?
What I do last week? I lived in the future.
What? No, yes. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, you remember second grade, me and you built that time machine.
We didn't rehearse this.
We built that time machine in second grade. Remember that.
I remember.
With the magnets?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, it worked. And suddenly I have Windows 10 on my PC and Android L on my phone.
Oh, okay.
And they're both amazing. And
awesome.
The future looks bright and happy and much better than Windows 8. Now I know what you're thinking. You're like, what happened to 9?
Yeah.
Yeah, the DeLorean, I hit 89 miles an hour, skipped one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, it's a fun story about that. So, turns out, to identify which OS you're working in, a lot of people, there was a command where you'd like, when OS equals like 9
right.
in their code. So, a lot of legacy applications in business, if they made Windows 9, would think it's 95 or 98.
Yeah, yeah,
so
I remember that.
So they literally had to skip 9. It was the
9X, pretty much 9X.
Yeah, anything 9X. So older legacy software, which is used a lot in business, which is where Microsoft makes all their money, would think it's 95 or 98.
Yep.
They had to skip Windows 9 and go straight on to 10.
Yep.
And it's been great ever since.
It's funny because I installed it too on Parallels on my Mac.
I actually completely replaced my Windows 7 build with it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you went all in.
All in.
Yeah. Hardcore style.
Yeah, man. No, that's how I do.
I
11.
I'm enjoying it.
Or 10 in this case.
We were talking about it right when we were both doing it with the snapping. Like,
yeah. Okay. So, when Windows 7 came out, I love Snap because Windows key, left, right, throw a window, half the screen. It's the best thing since sliced bread.
Right.
They made it better. They doubled it.
Yep.
Like our double song.
Or they halved it. They cut the sides in half.
They doubled it. Now you have four-way snap.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay,
so
fair enough.
It's double.
Yeah, we talked about the same thing. Yeah, yeah, so yeah, you can put it in each corner.
You go half and half or up to left, up to right, bottom.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So you got the quarter.
I mean, I know I'm pointing, but yeah.
Take a square, cut a cross like a plus sign in it, and then each little quadrant. Quadrant.
And you can, yeah, quadrant. You can throw your windows to quadrants.
We shouldn't call it snap. We should call it quadrant.
Quadrant. At this point, what's going to happen in the next iteration where they double that and you got like 8?
Double
or
quadrant.
Or 16.
Triple quadrant.
Oh, God.
I'm bad at math.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
And then Android L, so I'm running that on my Nexus 5. It's great. Everyone's going flat now with everything.
Yeah.
Even OS X is going flat in their next Yosemite.
Yosemite is going to be nothing
but an
icon.
That's the only thing I'm not living in the future with right now because I don't feel like paying $100 for Yosemite.
Yeah.
But everything's great. Surprisingly stable for alpha releases.
See, I wasn't aware that it was an alpha release.
Well, maybe not alpha, but dev preview.
Are you talking about L or are you talking
L and,
about...
L and 10.
I haven't had a problem with 10 at all. Yeah,
no,
no
problem.
Now, I haven't tried gaming on it.
I have.
Okay, so how is that?
Not a problem at all. It works better than 7.
Okay, I mean, I guess it's DirectX 11 still is in there, you know.
Well, it has all the technical upgrades that 8 had, but basically you get the technical upgrades of 8 with the experience of 7, plus a few extras like... Get this, virtual desktops.
I love virtual desktops.
On a Windows PC.
Now, I was about to say, people don't realize it, but like in front of Red Bear right now, there's a MacBook. And he's, you know, he's swiping
about,
up. And he's using mission control to go to different virtual desktops.
I have about 5 desktops.
Yep.
That's how my brain works.
Yep. No, that's how I do it. I got 3 monitors on my Mac Pro, and there's about 3 or 4 different virtual desktops with 3 monitors each. Again, it's really great. If you haven't looked up virtual
desktops, if you're forced to use one monitor like I am now on a laptop, virtual desktops, you can't live without it. Once you use them, you'll understand.
Yeah, no, you have everything in a little virtual desktop,
and
it's not like things run slower. Like when we say virtual, people seem to think like, oh no, it's like fake, like sandbox. It's not. It's real.
It's more real than the cloud even.
Oh man, let's not talk about that.
Actually, do you have that extension in Chrome?
I do.
The butt to cloud to butt.
So when you say
everyone download that,
I'm gonna upload this to the cloud. It's really translated to I'm gonna upload this to my butt.
Yep, so. It's great. In fact, install that plugin and then go to the wiki page about the cloud computing. It's hilarious.
It's fun.
It's great.
Fun.
So what did you do this week?
Also
D&D and some other nerdy things, but you don't want to hear about that. Let's hear about Matt.
That's pretty nerdy.
Oh, not really, because he told me Half-Life was today.
I'm sorry.
I've been playing a lot of Half-Life this week. By the way,
I was playing Half-Life 2.
Two or also?
Half-Life also and two. Two, one and two also. I didn't play Source. I played the original and I turned
OG.
All the graphics down.
Did you bust out a CRT monitor even?
No, I don't have one. And even then,
like illegal and give you cancer.
Yeah,
so.
they hum.
Don't worry about that.
So yeah, I played a lot of games. I actually went to a game store and I traded in a bunch of my old PlayStation 1 games.
What's a game store?
Like GameStop or
weird.
Yeah,
is that like Steam?
So I actually
but like in
hold
IRL?
On. You're gonna like this. So I go in and I trade in. I traded in like Grand Theft Auto 5 because for PS3 because it's coming out for PC and I'm gonna get it on PC.
PC Gaming Master Race.
Yeah. Well, no, I like the mods. I love the mods that they've done with
PC Gaming Master
before.
Race.
So I traded that in. I traded a bunch of other games that I just never ever play again.
At all
in.
Because you're bad at games.
And I think I got like 40-something bucks. in store credit. And ooh, I just went. Like I just went to the
or like
to
12 during the summer sale.
Yeah. Well, so they have Steam credit, Steam cards.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they have a big giant wall of like gift cards or whatever.
The last time I've been in a game store, by the way, guys, was to buy my 3DS.
So. Okay. So.
And then I just buy everything on Nintendo Store.
There used to be a rule where most game stores would say if you have in store credit, you can't spend that on cards. But then they started to look at cards as if it was DLC because they started to release, you know, character transfers and WoW and months of WoW on these cards. So then it was
it
okay.
All came down to
and,
WoW.
And now DLC is what a card is. So I go over to
physical
the
physical DLC.
I go over. I had traded in the HD collection of Metal Gear Solid because, well, hold on. I realized that that disc at some point in the future was going to get broken.
Break.
So I wanted the digital copy, and I didn't want to pay it up front. So what I did was I traded in all of this stuff. I went back. I got $40-something worth of PSN cards and then bought it on PSN. I still have like $20-something. I bought like that and Parasite Eve 2 and a bunch of stuff that I really, you know, games that I think I'd pay, play over and over and over again. And,
yeah, I hear you.
I actually started playing Max Payne 3 today.
Nice.
And I am really, really, really liking, because we again, we found out, Bear alerted me that Half-Life is not birthday today, so we came up with we came up with our alternative show plan. Again, we just kind of iterated one in our big playbook. But we're going to talk about cinematic gameplay, cinematic movies, cutscenes.
Kind of get into immersion.
Yeah, immersion and everything. I played Max Payne 3 because the immersion in this game is really, really well done. It's very good. It's a very good presentation, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Before that, we're going to
it's all in presentation.
We're going to cut to the two more songs again. Double down, and then we're going to come back
with it.
We're going to play "I'll Form the Head."
No, we're not. Okay, I'm good with it.
All right,
play
"I'll Form the Head" by MC Frontalot, followed by "Garden of Your Mind" by Mr. Rogers. It's all good in the hood, you know.
It's all good.
Anyway, after that, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about our retro game. This is the original Resident Evil, released in 1996. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU. Film Crew.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is still Experience Points, and I am still, believe it or not, MG.
And I'm also Red Bear.
That was "I'll Form the Head" by MC Frontalot. After that, and what you just heard was "Garden of Your Mind" by Mr. Rogers. It wasn't actually Mr. Rogers. I mean, it was him. It was him in it, but he didn't remix his own voice. Like, he's been dead for a while. So,
yeah, that's disappointing.
Somebody else remixed it. I don't know, but they played it on PBS, so it was actually like a legitimate, I guess.
It's canon.
Yeah,
canon.
I guess if we're gonna say Mr. Rogers, anything about Mr. Rogers is canon. That remix was probably as canon as it gets. We're gonna talk we're gonna talk about our retro game. This is Resident Evil. This is the original one from 1996. We're not gonna spend a lot of time on this one because even though it is a super influential game, I'm gonna go on record. I don't like the Resident Evil series. Like, it's not the best thing for me.
Well, Resident Evil is hit and miss with me, especially the last. I haven't liked the last few games.
Yeah,
I like these earlier.
Well, hold
ones.
On. Like, so the last game that came out was 6, and then before that, Operation Raccoon City, and before that, Revelations, and then Mercenaries 3D, and then Resident Evil 5, and the Dark Side Chronicles, and Umbrella Chronicles, and Deadly Silence, and 4, and Outbreak File, and Outbreak, and Dead Aim, and Zero, and then the remake for the GameCube, and Veronica, and then Gaiden, and then Veronica X, and then the Veronica original, and the Survivor Nemesis 2, and then Director's Cut, and the original.
You know, I think I know what's wrong. There's too many Resident Evils.
Yeah, there's a ton of Resident Evils. Like, from 96 all the way to 2012, there has been a Resident Evil almost every year. No, hold on. There's been at least one every year. Sometimes there has been, like, two. Even sometimes there's been three or four in a year. So
I'm gonna say quality suffers at some point.
Yeah, you know what? Okay, so I
get it now.
Let's hold on before we get too into it. Shinji Mikami. This was originally called Biohazard. Americans and I believe Europeans know it as Resident Evil. Survival horror is the name of the game. It's the genre, and it sort of birthed this survival horror genre.
With zombies.
It and Silent Hill. I would think Silent Hill.
Yeah.
I'm much more of a Silent Hill fan.
I'll get with you on that one.
No, so Resident Evil.
You want to be creeped out? Play some Silent Hill.
Oh, yeah. Even, you know what? Silent Hills, the new version with Guillermo del Toro and Hideo Kojima the Fox engine. What? That is amazing. I played the demo. It's called PT
on. Yeah, but so you found the demo.
I found the demo. I played the demo. It's like an infinite hall loop. Anyway, it's really, really good. So,
yeah.
You know, survival horror genre, though, is a good genre. The problem used to be that Resident Evil, you know, it suffered from tank controls where you had a turn and then you had a forward and a back. And you had a reference, like a point of reference from a static camera. And the cameras were always terrible. They were engineered specifically to kind of give you that, you know, jump up and get you fright. You know, they would put you in a bad position because your control scheme would change all of a sudden. And I was okay with that back in the PlayStation 1 day because there wasn't much you can do. I mean, it was an emerging video games were still in their infancy, believe it or not. And
well, the jump frights in any media actually is just a cheap way to cover up horror.
Right.
Like you want to actually build suspense,
psychological horror.
Yeah, that's really what you want to go for in a good story.
I like the creeping scare, the anticipation.
You
want
to build up an environment, and you really want the player or the person consuming the media to build it up in their head more than anything.
Yeah.
And anyone in the horror genre will tell you about that. It's called immersion.
We'll get into that in a bit. We're leading into it in a minute.
Uh-huh, what a segue.
The first two or three Resident Evil games, let's just go ahead and Resident Evil has a big, giant, overarching storyline. The basic plot is that the Umbrella Corporation made some stuff.
Should go away.
And it's like a virus. The virus infected some people. They escaped. They started infecting other people. It's bad. So Resident Evil is about it.
It bad, bro.
Resident Evil is about zombies and you surviving the zombie apocalypse and killing them. Whatever. It doesn't matter. The first three games, I would say. The first one, two, and three. Mm-hmm. And Veronica X, I guess. The first few games were much more psychological horror. Or, I'm sorry. What was it? Survival horror. And very well paced. But I feel when it got to Resident Evil 4, which was one of the most successful Resident Evil games, they changed the entire thing. It was more action now. All of a sudden, they took a big shift. 4, 5, and 6 have been noticeably more action-oriented in their execution, in their gameplay. And I liked Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, 4 came out on iOS, by the way.
Yeah, no. It's on everything. I liked 4. I did not like 5. I did not like 6. I haven't liked any of them since then.
6 was terrible, I'll be honest. Like, it's the worst thing I've played in recent history, I believe.
Yeah. We're not going to spend too much time because we do have a better segment, I feel, than talking about Resident Evil.
I'll agree. It was a precursor to a lot of modern things that we have in the horror genre. And like actually many precursors, it's not the best, but it was the first.
Yeah, and it has a legacy. I mean, I'm not going to dispute that. I don't have to like it to say that, you know, it has a legacy. And it surely has a huge following. I mean, it's one of Capcom's, it maybe is the biggest franchise for Capcom. You know, I would think Mega Man, but they sort of killed that off. I love Mega Man. A lot about Resident Evil made Resident Evil awesome. A lot of the things that it did, everybody copied and maybe made better. I know the one problem that I'm seeing lately is that Resident Evil is stuck in the 90s. And when they make a remake of Resident Evil, they don't update it for the modern day. They slap slightly better models, slightly better lighting, slightly better sound.
Fair. They don't change the control schemes or things like that?
Even if they do, it's... There's enough, again, there. If people want to play the original Resident Evil, well, you know what? It's available on the PlayStation Network, and I'm sure it can be available for purchase somewhere else. You can download it. The problem, I think, is that whenever they do an updated version, which they've done several different updated versions, I think Resident Evil X was – Resident Evil Zero, excuse me. Resident Evil, which was 2002 for the GameCube, and then they're remaking it now for modern consoles. It doesn't look much better than Resident Evil in 2002 did.
Yeah.
It's only, and that looked great compared to the 1996 version, but now the 2002, 12 years ago, we have a version that's coming out now that looks like it was 12 years ago. Yeah, but they haven't used any of that. Yeah, they didn't. So I feel like, you know, they're kind of just milking it now. But anyway,
more than one game a year. You think they're milking it?
Yeah, it's a lot of games. And that didn't stop. That's just the games. Like you.
No, don't even get started on the movies. By the way, if you're looking for a good movie,
you had the live action movies. Then you had the CG movies.
Don't remind me about the CG movies.
So yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Anyway,
there's a lot of stuff to not get interested in.
Yeah, this is Resident Evil. That's our retro game. We're going to come back after these two musical selections. This is 20% Cooler by Ken Ashcore and Evolution of Circuitry by the Megas and Entertainment System. Nice. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Evolution of Circuitry by the Megas and Entertainment System. Before that, 20% Cooler by Ken Ashcore. Really like Ken Ashcore's stuff. Like,
yeah, it's pretty cool.
I love the beat. Like, I think I'd probably want to go to a place where he's DJing at or whatever. And
probably be a legit place.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... So, have you ever ingested...
You're trying to make words.
Have you ever ingested, a glow stick? Like, have you ever accidentally...
No, I think that would kill you.
No.
Have you ever poured that in a styrofoam cup?
No. What happened?
No, it burst straight through the styrofoam cup.
Oh, God.
Yeah. No. Kids, don't cut open glow sticks and pour them... I know we're coming into the holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
The Halloween holidays. Don't cut open your glow sticks and pour them in styrofoam cups.
Don't eat the string of Christmas
like
lights.
Little Red Bear.
All right, so we're going to talk about...
And always double check that candy.
Yeah. Just bring it to us. We'll eat it for you.
Yeah, I'll check it.
Kid. So we, it's like PSA, like during the holiday season for,
we should do PSAs until Halloween now.
We could do that.
That's the thing.
So let's talk about our main segment, cinematic cutscenes, full motion video cutscenes, in-game engine cutscenes. Let's talk about immersion. Specifically, we've touched on the topic of cinematic gameplay and videography and gameplay before. And we always say, yeah, that's for another conversation. And unfortunately, we did it during our Double Down show because I suck at planning things
out. We were established that you suck because this is not the Half-Life show,
I can't
Matt.
Wikipedia, yeah. So we do have a limited amount of time. We have about 8 more minutes to talk about this. So let's go ahead and talk about it.
Fine. Half-Life was immersive.
It was.
Just saying.
The interesting thing about Half-Life was... It didn't do any cutscenes. There were no cutscenes.
Nope. In fact, your main character didn't even speak. Man, a few words.
You were able to mute your way through the entire game, and everything around you. Everything around you.
Never
interacted to you. You didn't have. It didn't ever take control of your character.
Actually, there was a cutscene technically. Whenever the very beginning of the game, you're on the rail system.
No. You were still the character.
You were still the character, but I mean,
It was.
You're in a trapped environment.
I mean, it was exposition. I feel like, and to be fair, at the end of Half-Life Episode 2 or Half-Life 2 Episode 2, which we're not going to give anything away, your character is pretty much pinned and you can't move and you just have to observe. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the difference is, let's go to like Halo, where you're Master Chief, but you get almost a video. You get like treated to several cutscenes where you see Master Chief talking.
You set down the controller. Yeah. You do nothing. Yeah, I got it.
Right.
You. You watch it.
Same thing with one of my favorite game series, Metal Gear Solid.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of cutscenes.
In fact, people's made fun of them for how many cutscenes.
Oh man, it's so great.
You might as well just play a movie.
Another game series I like, Xenosaga. Xenosaga has a ton of cutscenes, and it makes for a really interesting story. But then you know they can do a lot with cutscenes, especially if it's in engine cutscenes. I hate cutscenes whenever they take and pre-render it, and you're like, man, that looks really awesome. And then you get to the game, and you're like, this isn't what the game looks like.
Oh no, that was the problem with the '90s. None of the media surrounding the game was what the game looked like because we sucked at graphics then.
Yeah, it was really really bad. And
that being said, that would break immersion.
Yes.
So you have a pre-rendered cutscene that looks really fantastic, and you're like, man, that's awesome. And then they drop you in this universe that looks nothing like that.
There's nothing but squares in here.
Yeah, there's nothing but squares, man. What's up with that?
That
being said, in the '90s, I did get very immersed in one game.
Which one?
Descent. My favorite. So much so, I had nightmares that like the robots were chasing me.
Nice. Yeah. That's a special type of therapy, I think. So I you know what, the fallback on this topic was mainly because Aliens Isolation was recently released. If you haven't heard anything about Aliens Isolation, it is the game you've been waiting for. It's the Aliens game that the fans deserve. What? It's one that Ridley Scott could be proud of. It's one that breaks all of the barriers down. Now, is it the second coming in game form? No, of course not. That would be Half-Life 3. So, because this isn't a Half-Life show, we're going to talk about Aliens for a minute.
I'm glaring at Matt right now.
I know. You can hear it through the microphone. These are pretty good mics. They pick it up. So
such glare.
When we think about, you know, an Aliens case, we're thinking about it. It has to apply to a universe that's pre-established based off of these super cinematic movies.
Right. Cinematic
movies. Yeah, I realize it's kind of like I double layered it there. But immersive movies, excuse me. They weren't comedies. They weren't just action adventure. They were sci-fi, psychological thriller, action adventure, horror movies in space.
That's accurate.
I think it's pretty
good. Anything's better when you throw in space at the end, too, by the way.
In space, yes. So
then you had this set of universes, what you're saying. Yeah, you had to play by those rules.
And you know what? We had Colonial Marines, the previous game, that had such a good showing at E3 a while back before it was actually a game, and it just didn't live up to it. So Isolation, hopefully, will rewrite that. I played like a demo, and it was really, really good. It does this thing where everything in engine is what you see, and that's the thing today. I can't remember the last time I saw a game do something that wasn't in engine all the time.
Not anymore. Again, we're not in the 90s. We're better at graphics.
We're that good.
Yeah, we are that.
You know what? Okay, I will say this. Mass Effect
feels good to be a game.
Mass Effect 3, Mass Effect 2 and 3.
Okay,
It did these things.
I'm considering.
Well, no, I think 2 did it too.
I'm finally going to break down play 3, I think.
Mass Effect did this this thing where it would put your character in the action, you know, whether you made a female or a male character, right. It would put you in the action with your armor. But for some cutscenes, you were just in the Normandy, and the Normandy, you were viewing the Normandy going through space, and you never customized the Normandy. So what they did is they pre-rendered that cutscene down. And the problem with pre-rendered cutscenes is that because you want to save space, you want to save the ability to render out some of this video, you codec it down, you use a really, really good, nice, high-efficiency codec, and you start to see little squares.
Yep.
You start to see little kind of artifacty squares in space specifically because space is mostly black, the vacuum of space, the void of space. So that's what they did. They would do these pre-rendered cutscenes that in fact, I have a Mass Effect 3 video online.
Mm-hmm.
Comparing Mass Effect 3 with mods and without mods. And in like one of the very first cutscenes, I noticed that so this is pretty much just a pre-rendered cutscene. And then it switches back to in-game models, and it was really, 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 really awesome.
Now that's actually funny. Models. So we flip-flopped. Now we're pre-rendered scenes are worse than just using the game engine as far as graphically it goes. Yep. That's funny.
So...
and again, all this comes down to breaking immersion, which is a consistent thing you want to keep in a game, especially something like,
Aliens in this
like Aliens or like Mass Effect is what I was thinking of. An RPG type of game where the point is to be this character.
Yeah.
And if you have something graphically that breaks that, it really throws you out of the universe and realizes, that's the point, is you don't want to realize you're playing a game 4 hours in. You just want this to be something that's happening to you.
Sometimes. I'll make a good case in Destiny's case, because people criticize the story and storytelling mechanics.
Much better than yours at this point, I'm assuming.
Yeah, no. I don't know. Depends on the type of parts of the internet you go to, really. There's a lot of hate out there.
To the best parts of the internet, right. Matt. I do not use private browser for anything.
Hello, NSA. In Destiny, there's several cutscenes that are really well done, and they put the in-game engine character, you know, in front of it, and nothing's pre-rendered, and it's really, really awesome.
Yay.
It looks fantastic. So it tells a really good story, and it makes you feel larger than life based off of it, just like Halo did, you know, just like...
Halo does a great job of that.
Yeah.
Even using so personally, I'll say this. I'm not a fan of cutscenes because it often breaks my immersion, but Halo never did. Like, I would set down the controller, but I'm still so enthralled in the story that it didn't matter.
Ah.
See, that's why I liked the original Half-Life. There was no technical cutscenes. People talked to you, but you're still the character and you still interacted and everything.
Yeah, you made choices. And right. I don't know. I feel like there's a couple different camps. You know, there's the... breaking immersion like Bulletstorm or some ridiculous game like that, where it's just third wall or fourth wall is broken all the time. You've got super immersion where, you know, you can control this character, and maybe, you know, maybe you always will be in control of that character. There's some sort of separate, like, holistic immersion based off of the game.
Holistic immersion.
Well, think of, like, Grand Theft Auto V, where you could switch characters. When you reach Zen. Well, maybe that's what I didn't mean, but maybe that's okay. Maybe that's okay to mean that. In Grand Theft Auto V, you took control of three characters. You could switch between them. And the universe expanded every time you switched because you picked up a character doing something that they wanted to do.
I was actually really impressed with how they kept all that straight, too, in that game. Because yeah. I thought it was going to break and not work at all.
No, it worked.
Because one character, the other characters are actually doing other things.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Then there's, you know, the super, you're telling a story with cutscenes, and there's a linear story, and you're just there to kind of experience it, and there's not much branching. And anyway, I think, you know, I'm really glad that we are on the in-engine, in-game engine type of cutscenes now.
It really gives you a better experience being able to stay focused in that same graphical environment you're in. And, like, to me, immersion's what it's all about. You want to get lost in a game.
Well, but immersion could work for you, especially with, like, a lower level of like technology. Like, remember Mark Hamill in Wing Commander?
That's the thing. It's not all about the graphics, but I will say when you have a sharp break in graphics, it throws you out of immersion immediately.
So you're saying MechWarrior 4? Is what you're saying. We are almost out of time. We're going to cut to a song. This is Threshold by Sex Bomb Om off the Scott Pilgrim soundtrack. And then we're going to come back and end out the show. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
We are Sex Bomb Om, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
We're back on Experience Points. I'm MG.
Red Bear.
We're all out of time. That was Threshold by Sex Bomb Om off of Scott Pilgrim. Bear, before we leave, what is the website? Please
tell us.
I'm
mad at you.
Okay, look.
No Half-Life show.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Go to our website, exppoints.com, /P. You won't find a Half-Life show there.
You won't find a Half-Life show, but you know what? We might just have to record some Half-Life stuff anyway. We might have to record maybe a B-sides. Super sad.
I'm making a super sad face right now.
Maybe that's what we could do. Hold on. Like, let's talk this out. Maybe we could talk about Half-Life and do a little podcast.
Maybe we could talk about Half-Life on November 8th.
Maybe we could do that.
Yeah, you know, when its anniversary is.
We could do that.
Right, meow.
Anyway, we also have social media, so Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff at exppoints.com/social.
Get there.
Get all the stuff. Like, link, follows.
All the things.
Yeah,
go to our Patreon page. You didn't even
pitch
that yet.
I'm sorry, we have Patreon.
Give us money. I need to eat.
Patreon.com, so that's patreon.com/experiencepoints, and be a patron of the arts. It'd be fantastic. Again,
we'll write you a poem and stuff.
We'll write you a poem. We'll take some pictures. It'll be great. We won't leak them online. We'll just put them online. We'll just do it like that. Anyway, we're out of time.
Right,
this is...
That thing.
What?
What? Go. Okay. What are you playing?
Sorry, this is Never Surrender by Martin O'Donnell. Depends. It was on Halo.
It was on Halo, nothing big.
You know what? I think his name's Martin, but whatever. Anyway, I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
Thank you for listening. Catch us next week, Wednesdays, 9 to 10 p.m. on KSLU.
And I'm sorry that Matt messed up the Half-Life
show.
I'm
sorry.
I'm still staring at you.
Okay, well, play
enjoy the song.
Let's play the song.